Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Halfway through November, November 15th, 2018. Lord's not making another one. November 14th, 2018, we were blessed with little Emery Jane Crescent. Came into the world yesterday. But I jumped, as soon as the show was over, I jumped up, put on my boots, ran out the door. Took my granddaughter Reese with me, went over, saw that beautiful, beautiful little thing. You know, I got guys and girls, and I don't know what it's going to take. Chad, shoot me something. I don't know what it's going to take. Chad, shoot them to Jared. Shoot those to Jared. I don't know what it's going to take for us to understand that really, apart from serving Christ and expanding the kingdom of God, I'm thinking as I'm saying this, just making sure it's the Holy Ghost saying it, not just me. Other than that, there isn't anything more important than our children. There isn't anything. Thank you, Lord. I've been struggling all morning for a scripture. I just got one. Jared, give me Psalm 78. And I can't believe how cavalier we are towards our children. And I can't believe, it's like the same issue with abortion. I say to women who've had abortion or men who've paid for abortions, and now you're my age, now you're older guys, you look back and say, God, I shouldn't have done that. And then let others do it. Or it's like you see a kid that's hooked on drugs. I mean, right around here, we've had at least two families that I know right here in this small community that just recently lost young, vibrant, 20-something men that drug overdose. See the heartache that brings and the destruction that it brings, and then nobody ever does anything about it. We never do anything about it. We have women who give us horror stories about their abortion, and they never got over, and they had eating disorders and everything, and then they go to church and they don't want to talk to anybody about it. And we have people go to AA meetings. And when they go to AA meetings, they say, hey, my name's Tony and I'm an alcoholic. They confess what they did. And they use that confession, even though I'm not a big AA fan, because, well, that's a whole nother story. At least they confess who they are and what they did. And it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, word of their testimony, love not their own lives, even to the point of death. And you got to ask yourself, do post-abortive women testify about it? Overcome by the blood of the Lamb, Christ forgave them. The word of their testimony, love not their own lives, even to the point of death. In other words, you got to love. You can't love yourself if you confess about yourself. You just can't. That's one of the things I admire about David Arthur. And one of the things that causes so much headaches about David Arthur. He's not ashamed to say, I was vile. Here's what I did. Don't do that. Yeah, we say our churches are full of women and men who have killed their babies, and they don't do anything to prevent it from going on. It just absolutely baffles me. Mothers against drunk driving, AA. We got all kinds of these things trying to prevent this injurious lifestyles to come into our people, and those who've been through it won't even stand up and do anything. But yeah, guys, can somebody explain to me, really? I'm kind of on it today. 44 years of baby killing, still.
Hey,
why the same lie that it's just a blob of tissue, that it's a woman's choice, that it's a woman's body, still that same lie, that same choice, still carrying the day? The day? Are you kidding me? Somebody come on. I heard this.
Go ahead, brother.
Okay. So, Coach, a little firsthand knowledge that I've learned over the last few years. First of all, I think one of the main reasons pastors don't want to touch this in the church is because, number one, probably one of the greatest reasons, there's a lot of big givers, high-profile donors whose little girls have had abortions. Example, the one gal that gave her testimony down in Austin, the blonde-headed gal, her dad made her have an abortion. Now, I don't know whether they were church people or not, but I've seen firsthand at the abortion clinics, even pastors, high-profile men that bring their daughters in there to have abortions.
Jared, go to my Facebook. Hang on a minute. Go to my Facebook page real quick, Jared. I want to show you something. Go ahead, George. I'm sorry.
Anyway, so that's a big driving factor. There's the chance of majorly offending those people because they want to keep that hidden. They want to keep the darkness hidden. They don't want to bring it to light. When actually that's what they should be doing to help these young ladies heal.
That's the gospel, right? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testament. Jared, you're doing great. I wanted to show
Amen.
That. Not right
Can
yet.
I add to that?
Go ahead, Vinny. Well, Vinny, hang on a second while I talk. Yeah. I want that because George just spoke about this woman's testimony. I want to play a little bit for it. Jared, scroll down till you see a blonde woman standing under a tree with a microphone. Go ahead, Vinny.
Okay, so to add to this, okay, they got America whacked out on drugs in the 60s,
there.
Right? So after that, we had the 70s. What do we have in the 70s?
Go back there.
What happened in the 70s? As all those people who were whacked out on drugs started making laws, and they started hiding all the things that they were doing. And
Jared,
just like he said,
go up one.
Just like he said, now they want to hide all that stuff. All the stuff should be coming to light because all that stuff is what they're doing to suborn society.
Coach, Proverbs 28:13.
Hang on a second. I'm trying to get Jared directed here. You went by it, Jared. It's a woman standing. There it is. Freeze right there, Jared. There you go.
Proverbs 28:13, a man who conceals his sin shall, right there, brother, shall not prosper.
Well,
but a man who confesses them will find mercy.
Yeah, you know, I have somebody very, very close to me, very close. I just got to be careful how I don't want to cast aspersions at anybody, okay? Jared, maybe, I'm sorry, Jared, I kind of missed this. I had one I thought I posted myself of her. This is part of another video. I think if you scroll down a little bit farther, Jared, we're going to find it. I remember talking to somebody about a problem that they were having with their child, and I tried to warn them, said, listen, there it is, Jared. Said, golly, listen, you got to tell them no. You got to tell them no. I'm telling this person about their son. And the guy said to me, well, I did worse than that when I was a kid. It's like we don't even learn from our freaking experiences. Yeah, I did stuff worse than that when I was a kid, and I don't want you to go through it. Yeah, I did that, and yeah, I did that, and I did that, and I did that, and now that I'm older and wiser, I don't want you to go through that. Because
exactly.
See, there's something about abortion that is a deeper, darker sin in the heart of a woman she can't forgive. She can't forgive. Yet isn't it amazing, folks? Really, as much time and effort and energy that they put into talking about how abortion is good and a woman's right to choose, celebrate your abortion. Isn't it amazing how rare that really is? That women who've actually killed their babies don't brag about it. They hide it. And for 44 years, our churches are filled with men and women who have done it. And they're silent about it. They're silent. We don't love our children. We couldn't possibly love our children if we could permit this kind of stuff to continue. We couldn't. Listen, boy, this is from the Holy Spirit because I came walking down. This wasn't what I was going to talk about. Somebody tried to come in. I heard it. No? Let me lighten it back up. Otherwise, I'm not going to get where I wanted to get. Yes, I am. What's the stinking lukewarm? Hang on, Jared. I tried to send this to Jared, and obviously it didn't work. Don't ask me why. I don't know. Here's what I wanted to start my show with, Jared, throw me up here on the screen. So I'm going to put this up here close to everybody because I want to show you that when I went to Chad's, I actually got the chance to preach to a congregation. Are you ready? Here we go. Me preaching at a congregation at Chad's. That's pretty good, isn't it? So finally, I'm going to start me a mega church. I know where to find me a bunch of sheep. I'm going to start me a mega church. I had to get that in there. Let me back up here.
Hey, Coach, you need a laugh track, brother.
That was pretty good, wasn't it? That was pretty good. I had to get that before I forgot about it. Let me throw this.
Hey, Coach.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah. You know, this whole thing with abortion – The church doesn't. The church just turns its head. Okay, they don't want to hear it because it confronts the issue. It brings the issue to the forefront.
Yes,
you know, I had a video of a doctor giving testimony in front of Congress from Albany Medical Center, and I sent it to a bunch of people at the church, including all the pastors. Okay, because I just felt they needed to see it. They just avoid the issue. No, you know, they won't say anything about it.
Why, though? Why? Why do they avoid the issue? Do we not love our children? Do we not love our children enough to stand up and speak to them and say, listen, some of you at some point in your life are going to be faced with an unplanned pregnancy. Don't kill the baby. And bring in women to testify. Say, don't kill the baby. No matter what, don't kill the baby. Why is this the unspeakable sin in the church? I'm appealing. Why is it? What's going on with the church that we don't care about this issue? That Owen Schroyer at InfoWars, Owen Schroyer has to lead a rally at the abortion clinic. Not Joel Osteen, not John MacArthur, not Franklin Graham. Owen freaking Schroyer leads a protest at Planned Parenthood. Somebody help me out. I'm going to lose it.
Coach, I'm gonna share something with you that I saw this morning. Being a homeschooler, we do a homeschool banquet once a year, and so of course we're down in Atlanta, so I can't go. But I wanted to look and see how many families were going and if I recognized them. Now these are homeschool people, and so it tells the last name of the family, and then it tells how many people are going to the dinner. Brother, 90% of them. Four people. You know what that tells me? A mom, a dad, and two children. These are homeschool Christian kids. Maybe a sprinkle of six, you know, where there's four children. But brother, no number over six. We hate having children, even homeschoolers have taken on this motto of only having two children. What a shame.
We're on to something here, aren't we? Huh? We are on to something. Where did I say, Jared? Psalm 78. Psalm 78. I haven't forgot you, Mark Trump. I'm going to bring you in. I got a thousand things to talk about.
Dave, I'd say the reason the church doesn't want to say anything about it is because it may be tied to their 501c3, that they need to shut up or they won't get any money.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, God bless it. I don't think that's it.
I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just.
I agree that the 501c3 issues is a factor in a lot of things, but it's not a factor in a woman giving her personal testimony that I did this, stop doing it, or a pastor finding in his church five women who said, listen, I did this, don't do this, and begin, as we saw yesterday with Bradley Dean, to take that message into the schools, I did this, don't do this. You go into the school, they got all the no smoking. They show the pictures of no smoking and don't do drugs and get kids walk around like their program, walk around like little tin soldiers.
Just say no. Just say no. And absolutely nothing in regards to not killing your baby. The absolute number one moral issue of our day, our churches and our schools do not touch.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know this. We've heard it hundreds of times. The love of money, not money, the love of money is the root of all evil. And think about this. You, anyone on this queue, please name me in these, especially these big churches. I'm not talking Pastor Dale's church. He doesn't qualify for this.
He might.
In these big churches.
I don't know.
You name me. You name me one church that money isn't the first thing. And then if they have room, they'll attack other issues, which unfortunately they don't have other room because they're so focused on the dollar bill. Name one big church.
Well, I'm going to be fair to him in a way. I agree with you, George. I'm going to be fair to him in a way, because here's what happens. Folks, if you haven't awakened to this yet, I don't know what to tell you. When a pastor opens this church, Dale would be a good example of a guy who hasn't done this, by the way. When you look at Joel Osteen, let's pick a big church. Let's pick the average size church. Let's stop picking on Joel Osteen. Because I go through this with the growing pangs right here in our ministry. You need help when you start a church. And so you need help to start a church. And what do you need? You need people. And so you have people that you want to come and work for the ministry. And so they come and work for the ministry. And then after a while, they say, boy, I'd sure like to hire you full time, because we're expanding our children's ministry. And then they hire a minister, full-time children's ministry. They say, oh, God, we need somebody. God, this children, we got to give us a worship minister. We have to have some guy here who can lead the music. And then he becomes on staff and he does all kinds. Next thing, you got that. Then you got a youth minister. Then you got a minister to couples. And hey, folks, just multiply 40,000, 40,000, 40,000, 40,000, 40,000. So whether the pastor wants to or not, he is now nothing more than a business owner trying to keep his employees fed. That's what goes on.
You're right, Coach. I don't fit in that qualification because we have nobody on staff, including myself.
See, there you go. So Dale has the power to do whatever he wants. So we look at these pastors and we see what's happening with them. Well, they're caught in a box. Their best friend is the associate pastor. They got to bring in the money to pay him. He's got kids in college. So it's not always the love of money. It's how they're using the money. And so I see that trap. I'd love to hire about 10 people for Pastor Salt Ministries to help me with what's going on with 10 with Pastor Salt Ministries. I hire 10 people. I'll be talking about money every time we come on here in the morning. I'll be talking about money. Not the 501c3. It's not the love of money. It's the fact that I got people around me. I'd love to hire Chad and Gary Pierce, George. I'd love to hire Jim Crow. I'd love to hire about 10 guys and put them on staff, but I'd spend all my time talking about money. Because, see, listen, that's not the way the church was designed to be run.
Coach?
Yes?
Their master is money, not God.
But can we be honest, though? All of us are. That's all of our masters.
That's right. We are.
All of us are trapped in that thing, right?
Yes, we are.
How many of you couldn't go to Florida because you couldn't get off work? How many of you couldn't go to Houston because you didn't have the money? I mean, it's not just them. It's everywhere. It's not the love of money. It's the necessity of money. It's the trapping us in the money game that's done it to us. It's inflation, where 50% of the money you now earn goes to the government in one form or another. That's the trap. They've got us all trapped in that system.
Amen.
So amen. I'm trying to get a little bit of slack here because I understand. I got a ministry. I got a ministry. And I'm thinking about, golly, I could do so much more if I had this guy. But see, in order for me to, I'd say, hey, Mark Trump, how about come and work for us, Mark? Come and work. He says, sure, Coach, I'd love to. So, Mark, how much do you need? So I need 50,000 to be able to do that. I said, guy, 50,000. Okay, 4,000 a month. I got to come up with 4,000 a month to bring Mark on. Okay, Mark, wait a minute. I'll get you some benefits. Mark, I need 5,000, but I'll bring Mark on. And then I want to put Jared on full time. And so I'm going to bring Jared. You see the game? Do you see the trap that they're in? That's what That's why church doesn't work. It's not that they love money, although they do love money. That's not what it's about. They have put their own noose around their own neck. They put their own chains around their own neck by trying to expand ministry. And Pass the Salt Ministry is working right now because people volunteer.
See, but we're
the disciples.
Were
the disciples on staff? Did they get paid by Jesus?
I don't think
so. Is that how that worked?
I don't think so.
The answer is bivocational.
It is bivocational. It is.
That's the answer.
But Roger, that's not the system, you know. It's not the problem.
Listen, right. where I worship, they need $70,000 a week. You're going to tell me you're going to rock the boat too much? You're going to tell me you're going to preach the hard stuff too much? Well, you might hear it a little bit once a year, twice a year, but you won't hear it regularly.
No.
And you certainly are not going to hear the concept of judgment, the wrath of God, the fear of God.
Amen.
What sells, and we see it everywhere, and you also see where it's gotten us, is love everybody.
Psalm 78, Roger, I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old. God, I love the Word of God.
Hey, Coach.
I could talk for an hour right there. Go ahead, George.
Well, my good brother Randy Lunsford, who came down to Texas, we talked in the car going down there about this exact thing for almost 6 hours of how the church has become a system. It's a system, and I don't see anywhere in the Bible where Jesus created a system. You know, like you said, it's a wonderful thing that those of us that want to give to your ministry, we give. But you know what? If you don't have money to do something, you just can't do it. It's not that you're going to lose it because you can't pay a huge mortgage or pay huge salary.
It's also beyond that. If I ask Mark Trump to come and work for me and then the money doesn't come in, then I got to say, hey, Mark, gee, thanks for leaving your other job. I'm going to have to let you go. Who wants to be in a position like that, right? I mean, that's foolish. That's why things like Campus Crusade for Christ, those kind of things, they find people, they raise their own funding. So they go out and they raise $2,000 a month from their circle of people, and then they join the ministry. That's really the way it's
Hey, Coach, doesn't this go back to Jesus answering the question, render unto Caesar what is his? See, that to me, I've learned, has a double meaning. First of all, everything God created, everything is God's.
Nothing belongs to God.
That's right. Nothing belongs to Caesar. So what he's telling the people is you shouldn't work for Caesar. You know, it's all God's stuff. So that's who you're working for.
So, hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jim.
Hey, when Jesus looked at Peter and his brother and he said, come follow me, the Bible tells us they dropped their nets. That was their livelihood.
To drop their
that
job.
That was how they fed their family and their own mouths. And what we've lost is Jesus' system. George was talking about the modern system of the church, and we all know how that functions. It muzzles the pastor, and it muzzles the lay people in the church. They won't talk about those things because they're controlled by the money. And until we become volunteers for Jesus, then all we're going to do is work for him for money. That's all we're going to do.
Amen.
That's coming from a true volunteer. Matt Tice, I see you just called me. I tried to pick it up. Are you in here now, Matt? Do you want to say something? But I didn't get a chance. I tried to pick up your phone. Go ahead, Matt.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, I just want to pass along one thing, and this is I've been very blessed. God has given me a mission here a long time ago, just like yourself here, but mine's a little bit different, and is what mine amounts to is studying messages for the last number of years about God loving us. The problem, as far as what he has revealed to me, is the problem is that it's us loving him, but it's the practice of us loving him. That's why people like Dale and them are so successful and so in love with what they're doing for God because they are constantly practicing loving God. You, Dave, you are practicing loving God. Many of the other members on this show are practicing loving God. The churches, the big pastors and the, a lot of the small churches do not practice loving God. If you walked up and said, do you love God? Oh, yeah. Do you practice it? Well, what do you mean? That means, do you go to the abortion clinic and protest? Do you put out pamphlets for who to vote for because of what they support in other areas of their life? It's the practice of loving God. That's why when Jesus said at the very end of his time here on earth, he said, go ye therefore. And in the end, he said, teaching them to observe, which means to practice. Jesus told us to practice loving him. I was watching a program just last night on Billy Graham. And Billy Graham, he was so successful when he started because he taught God loves everybody. People, that's all you want to hear is God loves everybody. The church wants to preach God loves everybody. But when we get to the point where we understand what it means and how to love God and then start practicing loving God, the abortion issue will go away.
Amen.
The gay marriage issue will go away.
What does loving
God will take care of it. Right now, we talk how many times about wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the powers of the evil one and all that. That's what we're fighting. We don't understand that. That person, the number one thing that Satan does not want anybody to do is to love the Lord Jesus with all their heart. You know, if you want to, Dave, just pull up 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. We are cursed if we don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one powerful, powerful scripture.
If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema,
That's
curse.
Right.
Hey, Coach.
And that means a curse.
Jesus.
Now think about Jesus, think about that. We're cursed. We're cursed if we don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. This came across to me. The Lord revealed this scripture to me about 3 weeks ago. I told my sister, who's a good Christian, a couple days ago about this. She said, my goodness, what a powerful, powerful scripture. Because we blow it off. The church blows it off because the church does not practice loving the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do it in 1 minute. It takes years. And I've heard you say yourself, Dave, how many times that it took you a long time after being born again until things started taking hold. Mm-hmm. And you had to get into it to where you actually started practice. Every time you go to the abortion clinic, Dave, every time you go have one of your Assault and Brigade meetings, you are practicing loving God.
Amen.
If you could take some of these pastors with you and let them enjoy and learn about how to love God, man, we would have a great church.
Yeah.
But the church does not do it. They're not going to buy into it right now. So the only issue that we've got, what can a Christian do today? Is to start having the small group meetings and start talking to other people about how to practice loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. And as Paul said in one of his messages, I think it was in Hebrews or maybe Ephesians, he said, grace to all those who practice, who love the Lord Jesus Christ sincerely. Grace to those. I want to quote Paul and say, grace to those who sincerely love the Lord Jesus Christ.
So, Matt, I was sitting around yesterday. That's very good, by the way, Matt. I was sitting around yesterday with the birth of our new granddaughter, and I was holding her. And then we got two little monkeys upstairs that are staying with us while Maggie's in the hospital. And then the other two monkeys just live up down the hill. And Michelle told me this morning we're going to have all four of the monkeys. I got to take care of the monkeys all day. And it's a blessing. And I was sitting there as I was holding new little Emmy yesterday. I kind of looked at her and I whispered. I said, "Oh, I'm going to become your favorite." As I was looking at her, because I will. They love their grampy. And I thought, you know, boy, what a hole in my family there would be if I dropped over dead. What a hole in my family there would be if my wife dropped over dead. How would we ever replace that? I thought about Flip Benham and he lost his wife. What a hole in that family. And then here's the way my mind works, I guess. And then I got thinking about church. Well, before I thought about church, I thought about, golly, what would happen to the queue? Who would run the queue?
Then I thought about churches and pastors and pastor-driven churches. What happens to Joel Osteen's church if Joel Osteen dies? What happens to John MacArthur's church if John MacArthur dies? What happens to Andy Stanley's church if Andy Stanley dies? See, that's not the way it was designed. That's not the way this thing is supposed to operate. If I would, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If I keel over tomorrow, I hope what's going on here continues, but it only continues if each one of you guys pick up the mantle and assume some leadership in the area in which you live. That's the only way it would continue. It would be Coach Dave dead if I'm not here. Coach Dave dead, but the show should still go on. There should still be a gathering of people come together and plant flags and do works right where they live. But see, the church model's not that. The church model is, I'm going to get ordained. I'm going to be the pastor. Follow me. I'll be in church. Let's build a big church. Let's bring on a bunch of staff. And then let's let all everything else go to hell.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah. I ain't planning on dying yet, by the way.
Coach, one other thing, and this doesn't really have to do with money, but boy, in talking to a lot of church leadership, I've really discovered people become a product of what they are taught. And you know how we kind of joke that, Coach, you know, you and I and the guys in the queue and gals, we've gone to Church of the Wilderness, School of the Wilderness. But
So
many of these pastors, they really believe more in what they've been taught at their seminaries and Bible schools. And if you come up with something that's outside of that box, boy, I mean, you're really, really rocking the boat. And I think that's another problem with a lot of churches today. They just flat out believe more what they've been taught by a professor than they really adhere to the unadulterated Word of God.
Amen, George. Hey, folks, let me listen. I know we want to discuss here. Just a sec. Let me connect here. Okay, let me connect a couple scriptures that I'm working on. Good morning, Dr. Bob. Let me connect a couple scriptures. Jared, give me back to Psalm 78. Everybody, just stay with me a second. Let me get these two scriptures out, and then because I want to make a connection here. Okay. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, Psalm 78, which we've heard and known. Hey, we've heard them and we know them. We have to have some pastors. And our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from our children. Why will we not hide from our children? These parables, these things that we've been known, we've been told, we're not going to hide them from our children. So we have to show to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Time out of it. Do you believe the church has any power at all if they can't stop murder? The worst crime you could ever do is murder, and they've been murdering for 44 years, and the church can't stop it. What a. We will not, verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob, and he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our daddies, that they should teach those commandments to their children, not the pastor, not the youth leader, not the Sunday school teacher, the fathers that would teach it to their children, and that the generation to come might know them. Little Macy and Mia and David and Reese and now Emmy and the one coming, we're going to teach to them that they will know them. Know what? The commandments of our fathers. The generation to come might know them, even the children, which, by the way, would be born, who are then going to arise, and they're going to declare to their children. Oh, my good tag team handoff, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but don't kill. Do not murder. Verse 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart right and whose spirit was not steadfast with the Lord. You're right, Matt. They don't love the Lord. I came down, and just before I came down there, girls got up early this morning. My wife's pulling her hair out because I got these two little monkeys running around. And she sat him down on the couch. She's got the iPad out there trying to calm him down. And Macy, God bless little Macy, she's on her iPad. It's playing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And she's singing along with him. I'm sitting back thinking, boy, that is so beautiful. But that ain't it. That ain't it. Why do we always want to tell people how much Jesus loves them? Why do we lead with that? Verse 9.
the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. That's where we are. That's exactly where we are. Jared, go to 2 Timothy 4 real quick. And I want to connect these two dots. Jesus loves me as I know. Or the Bible. By the way, where does the Bible say that? That was a question. I guess it does. I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, dudes. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine, because the time is here when they will not endure sound doctrine, but begin to preach that God made homos homos and they can be pastors, and begin to preach that you can ignore the law of God because God loves you and he forgives you and his grace supplies, and once saved, always saved. And they're going to be teaching these crazy, unsound doctrines, but after their own lusts, because they want to know that Jesus loves them, they're going to find pastors who are going to tell them that because they got itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou on all things. Endure afflictions. Why do you say endure afflictions? Because if you're preaching the word, there are going to be afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. There's going to be afflictions. Scars. Make full proof of your ministry. What's full proof of your ministry? The scars. The things they say about you. The places they run you out of. The parties that I'm not invited to anymore. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept my faith. Boy, oh boy. Can't preach that too much. That, boys, is the truth. Got distracted. Hang on. Come on in here. I'll shut up a minute. Come on in here. We love ourselves too freaking much.
Coach, that's exactly it. We love ourselves. We love our lusts. But even in that passage of scripture, Paul commands not just some, but all to do the works of the evangelist. We are all, it's not a, oh, it's a calling. We are all charged with the calling to evangelize, to go out and to preach this gospel. Now, I'm just telling you, brother, we have done these gas giveaways. We've done the floods, all those times, you know, and I talked to you last year and you gave me an offering to help my family. Everything we've ever done, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. In order for these things to happen, brother, we step out in faith and we trust God for the assurance that he's going to make the provision. We don't wait for the provision to come and then step out and do these things. We step out and do these things and God then makes the provision.
Amen. Amen. So let me use a good example here, Dale. I'm gonna pick a big name in evangelists, just because I don't want to pick on anybody. Somebody give me a big T.D. Jakes. I'll just use him because I'm not trying to make fun of T.D. Can somebody tell me this? Somebody help me out here. What do you suppose he does all day? Anybody know what he does all day?
Counts his money.
Does he counsel with people? I mean, what does he do all day? Go to meetings? What does T.D. Jakes do all day? I'm not picking on him. What does Rod Parsley do all day? What does John MacArthur do all day?
Or is Joe Osteen, Creflo Dollar, right, all these freaks.
What do they do all day? Well, I know what they do. They get on the phone to make connections so they can travel, so they can go speak at another church and get a large offering and return back home. Now, the large offering they take back home with it, some of it goes to the church, maybe some of it goes to them. I don't know. Would T.D. Jakes, you think if I called T.D. Jakes right now, he'd come over and sit down in my house, get five or six of us, and say, hey, T.D. Jakes, would you come over and visit us for a Bible study? Dave, you guys think he'd come?
Yeah. Dave, the black community is decimated from abortion. Decimated. I've never heard that guy even talk publicly on the topic.
He's for homosexuality too, Roger. He's for it. I'm not picking on him. But this is what we just read in 2 Timothy, right? They're going to heap up for themselves. What? Teachers having itchy ears. They're just preaching what we want.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
What this all boils down to, you know, there's usually a bottom line. Of course, the bottom line is money in most people's experience. But the bottom line in what we're talking about here is lack of understanding of the fundamentals. Now, the love of God is a true thing. The love of Jesus is a true thing. But the truth about the love is he wants to love people, so he made a way he can do it. But he doesn't love them until they avail of the way he made. And all of that comes under the fundamentals. If you don't understand the fundamentals of what the Christian walk is all like, you're going to build a really pretty house from various scriptures on top of your foundation. And if your foundation isn't built right, that house is going to blow away on the first hurricane that comes along.
Amen. So an example of love is this. Here's where it gets to the nitty gritty. If I got one bite of food left, and I have any other food in my house, and it's me and my granddaughter Reese, who gets to eat? That's where love is, right? And it comes down to whether it's God's called you to do something and it might impact your work. How do you respond? That's love, boys and girls. That's where rubber meets the road. That's where love meets the road. Do you love the Lord enough that you'll give up all you have? I'm thinking about these little grandchildren. I'm just kind of enthralled about them because I got them. I got another one and another one coming. And I look around and I just, I'm their only hope, man. I'm their only hope. Gigi and I and their parents, of course, we're their only hope. And we look outside, we see a culture that's, see, we have bought, guys and girls, we have a defeatist mentality. I wrote about that today. I don't know if I want to take time to go to the commentary that I wrote. Would we, fellas, let's say that we didn't have this Bible. And they're really, without this Bible, or let's say that any mention of the end times was taken out of it. Because, you know, the end times have been in this Bible for how long? How old's the New Testament? Just short of 2,000 years, I think the New Testament is. And why is it only during this time that we're so focused on the end times? You know, the first century Christians thought Jesus was coming back in their life. They thought it was happening then. And I don't know, do you think Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin and George Washington, did those guys think the end times? What, did they sit around and say, why start a new country? We ain't going to be here long. Why leave England and start that war? Hey, the devil's going to have it all anyway. We're out here. No, that wasn't their attitude. No. And those Daniel Boone and Lewis and Clark went west, man. They were looking for more. They didn't sit around and say, about the time I get out there, Jesus will probably show up. I guess I won't go. I'll leave that to somebody. I'll leave that to all those who are left behind. Well, come on, man. What is wrong with us, see? And so here we are. We got to ask, what would America look like if there was no end times? If we didn't know there was an end time, would we be acting the way we act now? And I'm telling you, no!
James Madison, I believe, stated that the inception of America was the fulfillment of Matthew 28 and Mark 16, that from this beacon of light, that we were going to be the ones to bring the gospel and conquering in the world the gospel for Jesus Christ.
And so are we done doing that now, Dale?
That's just it. We've become the missionary field. America's become the missionary field now.
You guys understand what I'm getting at? That's what I wrote on today. I wrote on, said, would we be in control if we thought that there was no end time, that the one whoever captured America held on to America? Talk about our churches. Would we be acting like this? Or do we sit back and say, well, you know, it's all going to get worse in the end anyway. Yeah, let them have it. Come to our church. We'll have our prayer gathering. What's our prayer gathering? Oh, I know what our prayer gathering is. Protect us, Lord. Oh, Lord, protect us. Keep the evil one from us, Lord. Oh, help us. It's not about, Lord, show me that guy. Show me the guy. Let me go tear that kingdom down, Lord. Let's expand the gospel of the kingdom here in the United States of America. Come on, Lord. Give us the power. You said that all power has been given unto you, both in heaven and earth, and we're to go. Lord, give us that power. Show us the devil. Show us how he's working. Give us a plan to take over. Give us a plan to establish your kingdom. Is that the attitude of the church? When you get together in a prayer gathering, in a prayer meeting, is that the prayer? When you get on your phone and you have those phone prayers, is that the message? Or is it submit, survive, get us out of here? Thank you for protecting us. What if we actually thought we could win? Now! Jared, pull up that commentary. I just want to read the last four paragraphs of that thing. I sent it to most of you. If you didn't get it, it's on our website. Actually, I started out writing some. This happens to me a lot. I got in the middle of it and kind of changed my message. The title was, What If Christians Were in Control? It's on our website. But just get down to about the last four chapters, Jared. It's all good. I'm not going to read it to you right now. It's all right there, Jared. Go back up. It says Occupy. There it is. Occupy is an action verb. It connotes the idea that someone else is intent on taking over. That's good. That's good right there. It connotes the idea that someone else is intent on taking over. Jesus told us to occupy. Help me out here. If the battle has been won, we win in the end, boys. Why did he command us to hold ground now? Could it be that the adversary is not yet under his feet? Could it be that God's team was placed here to actively oppose the evil one? Look around America. Think back to the days of Fathers Knows Best and ask yourself, what happened to 1950s America? Could it be that while we were fighting a cartoon character opponent, the devil, I talk about that in the beginning with horns and tail, the devil and his minions were actively at work fighting to pull off the greatest coup in the history of the world. Could it be that his greatest strength, the devil's, was convincing us that he was not really very strong? Focus your eyes for a moment on every major institution that influences the culture and name for me one that the Christians are in charge of. Music, media, education, finances, entertainment, government. Family, even the church, has fallen into the hands of the enemy. While Christians have been dressing up like the devil to celebrate Halloween, the devil's been eating all of the candy out of our sacks. Our churches have lied to us. They have taught us to look to the coming kingdom while ignoring the one right in front of us. Wow, that's good stuff, Coach. Just a warning, you ain't seen nothing yet. The darkness spreads through deception. And so much of what we see, hear, and are taught simply is not true. Lies rule the day, and Satan is the father of them. If, as Jesus said, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. I want you to stop right there and think about that. And let that sink in. All power, he said, has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. If Jesus said that, what would it look like if his disciples actually lived as if he was supposed to be in control? What if his people occupied those gates of power? 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose was the Son of Man manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What if he meant it? What if the devil really was a defeated foe? What if our job was to go into all the world and teach all that he commanded us? What if God's people are supposed to put the devil under the feet of the Lord? What if we did here on earth what really mattered here on earth. What if the devil was a CEO here and now? What if Jesus was counting on us to help build his kingdom on earth? What if the Lord was waiting on us to act? One more. And if we really believe that Jesus was the King of the Kings, what if we really believe that Jesus was the King of the Kings here and now? What if the gates of hell really could not prevail against his church? What if his church was his plan to conquer the darkness? What if we stopped underestimating the devil and started conquering him? The church actually believed Jesus controlled all power in heaven and earth. Would it change the way we responded? What would it look like if Christians were actually in control?
That is so good, Coach.
You know, and Jesus tried to remind us and have us remind ourselves that what you just wrote about is exactly what he wants. He taught us to pray, thy will be done. He taught us to pray, thy kingdom come. Everything you just wrote about is in what he taught us to pray daily. And so many of us, like I said before the show started, think that prayer is blah, 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 blah to God, blah, 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 blah to God, blah, blah, blah to God. Okay, I've prayed.
See, the problems in America, let there be no doubt about it, the problems in America are theological. We think we lost. Oh, we win in the end, but we can't end abortion. We can't even get Republicans in office. We don't have any power. It's okay. We're about out of here, Ethel. Ethel, be all right, sweetheart. Jesus is coming soon. We'll be out of here soon. And in the meantime, here comes little Emmy. Here comes little Emmy. And I say, Emmy, I hope I get to see you for a little while. Jesus is coming soon, and we'll be out of here. What a freaking attitude that is.
Hey, Coach.
Uh-huh.
You know, just a few short years ago in our country, we did see that. I mean, when our country was founded, we were the salt and the light in many ways, bringing the gospel to the nations, believing the victory of Christ. Isn't that amazing how we've descended into such untruth?
Yeah, well, George, we sit around and we look evidence on why we're losing. We look for evidence why we're losing, because we're about out of here. Can't you see that? No, you're losing because your right guard can't freaking block. That's why you're losing. Ain't got nothing to do with what the enemy's doing. You haven't taught your guys how to block. You're talking on how to take an E. Give up the ground. We drew the red line on the wrong side. It'll be on the back of us. So we got a cliff. We step back off that cliff. We're done. We got to have a cliff, a red line behind us. And our only options go forward. Onward, Christian soldiers. I'll back up.
Hey, Coach, when you go back to 1 John chapter 3, it says the Son of God was manifested that, and here's the key word, might destroy the works of darkness. It might destroy the works of darkness if the church will act like the church and subject Romans 16, 19 through 21. Submit and crush Satan underneath whose feet? Our feet. Our feet.
Oh, Lord.
Uh-huh. Dang it. Just just so everybody knows, God became man. That Jesus Christ, God became man. I think that's a lot bigger deal than we can ever possibly fathom.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay, Dave, I was going to get back to this. Why the preachers aren't saying anything. Because I think a couple of reasons is perhaps they're sleeping with someone who's had an abortion,
mm-hmm.
or their daughter is one that's had one. You know, I mm-hmm. can remember my dad telling me when they were growing up, they had a contest when they were in high school to see who could sleep around with the most people. Mm-hmm. And the person that was winning it was the preacher's daughter, because she felt like she had something to prove. And yeah. So I think that's why it's guilt. That's what I think.
Okay.
They don't want to be a hypocrite.
They don't. I think they're cowards. That's what I think. I think they're stinking cowards. There's no other way around. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, can anybody tell me? Come on now. Why do we care so much about souls and so little about people? Can somebody tell me that? That's where we're messed up. We care about souls, not about people. We got people saved. We don't want to create an environment where even the unsaved might be safe. We don't want to create an environment like that. We're not really our brother's keeper. Mark Trump, listen, man. I was going to bring you in at the beginning and I forgot. Let's do it in the morning. I don't want to, you know what I'm talking about there, Mark. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Golly. It's all attitude, baby. It's all attitude. It's theology. It's attitude. We have the most unbelievable defeatist sissy. See, why are so many of our pastors so upbeat and positive and forward thinking like Joel Osteen in regards to money and finances in your life, but not at all in victory over evil? We don't even talk about that. Why isn't Joel Osteen talking about, oh, this is my Bible. It says what it says I can say. It does what it says I would do. And we are going to kill the devil today. We're going to end abortion today. We're going to restore righteousness in our schools today. No, that's not the message. And if we're about to get raptured out of here, then why the hell do you need a bunch of money and stuff? It doesn't even make sense. And I look at us as Christians and I think, if I wasn't one, why would I want to be one? When I look at us, why would I want to be one? I'm going to tell you this. When I walked out of that classroom in Thomas Worthington on Tuesday, they either loved me or they hated me. There wasn't no middle ground. You get what I'm saying? Jesus said, I wish that you were hot or I wish you were cold. Because if you're one of them blend in Christians to go along, to get along, Jesus loves everybody Christians. If you're one of those guys, I'm going to belch you, vomit you, spew you right out of my mouth. See, we don't take the Bible seriously. Do we read the verses that we like. We read the feel-good verses. We read the ones that keep us coming back to church on Sunday. But we don't read those verses that say to go rescue those who are unjustly led to slaughter. We don't read the ones that say that true and undefiled religion is this, to rescue the infant, the woman, and the widow and the orphan in her time of distress. We don't read those verses. No, we don't apply those verses. And we don't apply that verse that Matt gave us today. That verse that says, we're the enemy of God. We're cursed. If we don't love the Lord, we're cursed. We don't, huh? I don't feel the church.
Preach it, brother.
I am, man. I am. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people sitting in churches called the sin of presumption. It's in Psalms. We don't have time to look it up now, dear. Sin of presumption. To presume that God's gracious and merciful and he's going to look the other way. To presume. Mark Trump called me yesterday. You know what Mark Trump said to me yesterday? Wow. He says, Coach, imagine that the Lord really does see everything. Imagine he really does hear everything. Imagine he really does record. What if everything you did, you knew he was watching? Holy smoke. Hey, boys, we're in a war, but we're not acting like it's a war. We're in a war that we expect to lose so we can win in the end. And
Coach, that's a great deception, brother, that we win at the end. It shouldn't say that. We have to fight to win at the end.
But it says, Vinny, that he's not coming back until he makes his enemies his footstool. So how's he going to do that? I believe he's going to do it through his people. And to understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's us. We're his A-team. We are plan A.
Well, if he's going to put his enemies under his foot, it's got to be us to do it because we're his foot.
About time we had another reformation.
Amen, brother. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching out as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.